It might be getting even harder to nab an internship in tech. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Summer internships are right around the corner, and while it's never been easy to get one of the coveted spots at a big-name Silicon Valley firm, this year there's an added wrinkle. The tech industry is still reeling from mass layoffs. Many HR departments and recruiting budgets have been slashed, which could put up even more barriers for candidates from underrepresented groups, says Ruth Farmer. She's the founder and CEO of the Last Mile Education Fund, which helps low-income students get through college and get on track for a career in tech, something she says is challenging even in the best of times.
Most companies' recruiting processes have been designed for affluent students. So you fly over to Seattle and you stay in a fancy hotel and you have all these interviews. And I have had students literally tell me that they went to go to an interview and they could not check into their hotel because the hotel wanted to put a $400 hold on their debit card. And so then they have to call their recruiter and say, I can't check in, which is this totally humiliating experience right before you're going into an interview, right? And if we realize that more than half of our talent pipeline is coming from low-income backgrounds, that is a system that excludes them.
How is the slowdown in tech affecting internship recruitment?
I think one thing that I have heard is that recruiting budgets have been cut. And what that is going to mean is that the recruiting teams of companies aren't going to have as much capacity to go beyond a handful of schools. And that's where we start to have a diversity problem. I think that what often happens is people have a perception that because you got into a school like a Harvard or a Stanford, you are better. And so a lot of effort is made to recruit these quote unquote top students. But the reality is there's a tremendous amount of talent that is distributed across some 2,000 plus universities in this country that are being missed in the current process. And I would actually argue that a student who is from a low-income background, is a first-generation college student, that is one persistent, high-quality, hardworking person. And the companies that figure out how to recruit those students are the ones that are going to win, in my opinion.
In your work with students, what kinds of attitudes are you seeing about big tech as this kind of shift has been happening? I mean, has it lost some of its attraction for students to go intern?
I'm seeing that the shine has worn off the penny. One of the things that I feel has been a bit of a bait and switch is all of this messaging to K-12 students. Just code, everybody code. You're going to get this amazing job. You're going to make all this money. But that's truly not necessarily the reality. So I think there's a little bit of disillusionment on that end. And then, you know, there have been some not so nice political things in the tech space that have, I think, soured some students on big tech and the conversation about, you know, ethics and technology and the damage that social media can have. I think that that has some students more interested in how they can do good with their skills as opposed to just make money.
Tell me a little bit more about the kind of students that you work with in your organization and what kinds of barriers they face to the sort of traditional tech internship.
Last Mile works with what we call striving students. So most people don't realize that the vast majority of students from low-income backgrounds do not finish college. There's been a tremendous amount of money invested in STEMspiration to push all these low-income and underrepresented students, which happen to be heavily correlated, pushing these groups into the STEM talent pipeline, but not actually fixing the structural barriers in the college experience that keep them from actually finishing. And turns out, guess what? It's money. right? It's money. So we're funding students who are in their last mile. So the last four semesters of the degree. So we're not recruiting them into the major. They're already in the major. We're not, having to convince them or launch them. We're actually making sure that they have the resources they need to get over the hump to graduation. And sometimes it's a shockingly small amount of money. Like our average grant overall is $1,100. So it doesn't actually take that much to get a student to the finish line. But what I've found is a lot of these students are what I would call disconnected. So you're low income, you're struggling to make ends meet. So you're working a lot of hours, heads down studying, maybe you're first generation, and you're going to your local or state university. Companies aren't recruiting at those universities. And so those universities aren't preparing you to be recruited. So they haven't built the capacity that, say, a Stanford or a Harvard has in the career services department because there's no demand on their side. And so I've run across students, and I'm not kidding you, who I'm like, wait a minute, you're almost going to graduate. You've never done an internship. And they literally didn't know that internships in tech were paid because they were so heads down on surviving and getting through school that they weren't joining the like clubs and the groups, or maybe their school didn't even have those clubs and groups that would have told them what they needed to do to get recruited. And so there's a real lack of quality advising happening for students. And so, we have scaled up and pushed so many more students into the talent pipeline, but we haven't in a commensurate way scaled up, the college advising piece and the career advising piece that needs to happen. And so I'm happy to say that we are catching them before it's too late and able to connect them to those groups and organizations like Women in Cybersecurity or the Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers or the Society of Black Engineers, whoever they need to be part of to be plugging into those networks before it's too late.
If this moment does bring about a setback in, efforts to make the tech industry more inclusive, what does that mean for the future of this industry?
Inclusion and diversity equals innovation. The United States is one of the only first world nations who has a native diverse population at scale. And we are not leveraging it, but it is actually literally a global competitive advantage. So if we can somehow figure out how to unlock the 75% of people we're missing, we are going to have a bright future. If we don't, we're going to lose to other countries, to other people who are more innovative. It's just the bottom line.
Ruth Farmer is the CEO of the Last Mile Education Fund. We'll have a link to the Last Mile Education Fund if you or a student you know might benefit from some of the organization's resources. It's at our website, marketplacetech.org. And on the topic of how layoffs are affecting much-needed efforts to improve diversity, equity, and inclusion in the tech industry, earlier this year, my colleague Kimberly Adams spoke to Christy Lindor. She runs a DEI consultancy, which works with Fortune 500 companies. In that interview, Christy warned that for young people of all backgrounds, finding a workplace that reflects the diversity and values of their peer groups is an increasingly important factor. So even a short-term move to put these efforts on hold in an industry that has been so slow to change could continue to have negative effects in the long term. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.